Welcome back to the Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and today we are looking at a pretty fundamental shift in how we handle the risks of frontier AI.
That's right. Anthropic just dropped a major new model tier, but they've added a fascinating and somewhat controversial safety mechanism that literally downgrades your model if you ask the wrong questions.
We're also going to unpack a really nasty supply chain attack. Hackers have figured out a way to weaponize your own AI coding assistants against you, and it just resulted in GitHub shutting down dozens of Microsoft repositories.
It's a scary one. And later in the show, we'll talk about a viral essay that's making the rounds, arguing that AI is bringing back the absolute worst version of the rockstar developer archetype.
A lot of technical debt being generated very, very quickly. It's going to be a packed show today.
Let's get right into it. Let's start with Anthropic. On June 9th, they released a new Mythos class of AI models, specifically Claude Fable 5 and Claude Mythos 5. And they are positioning these above their previous flagship, the Opus tier, designed for complex, long-running agentic tasks.
Right, but the rollout strategy here is really what caught everyone's attention. Fable 5 is the generally available version. Mythos 5, however, is heavily restricted. It's only available to Project Glasswing partners and a few select organizations. They share the same underlying architecture, but Anthropic is gating the raw capability.
And the way they are doing that gating on the public model, Fable 5, is through a new fallback mechanism. If you prompt Fable 5 with sensitive queries regarding cybersecurity, biology, or chemistry, it has safeguards that automatically trigger a fallback to Claude Opus 4.8.
Which is a really interesting approach to the dual use risk of frontier AI. Instead of just giving you a canned refusal message, like, I cannot help with that, it hands the query down to a slightly older, less capable model that has presumably been heavily red-teamed for those specific domains.
Critics argue this might create a false sense of security, though. If you're a developer building a high-stakes agentic workflow, and your model silently downgrades its reasoning capabilities because it flagged a chemistry term, that could break your entire pipeline.
Exactly. You're paying for Mythos-class reasoning, but getting Opus 4.8 outputs. And speaking of paying, the pricing on this is steep. They've set it at $10 per million input tokens and $50 per million output tokens.
$50 per million output tokens is definitely pushing the upper bounds of what we've seen recently. Anthropic is clearly targeting enterprise use cases where the cost of human labor for these complex tasks is so high that $50 is still a massive bargain.
They are doing a bit of a promotional push, though. Fable 5 is available on paid plans at no extra cost through June 22nd. But after that date, it's gonna require usage credits.
That offer-then-remove pricing strategy is a bit risky. You get developers hooked on this incredibly capable, long-running agentic model, and then 2 weeks later you throw a hard paywall in front of it. It's going to test how sticky this new tier really is.
It also raises the question of whether the distinction between Fable 5 and the restricted Mythos 5 is a genuine safety necessity, or if it's partly a marketing tactic. Reserving the absolute bleeding edge for Project Glasswing partners certainly drives enterprise FOMO.
I think the safety concerns are genuine, especially in biology and chemistry where Anthropic has historically been very cautious. But you're right, the optics of having a secret, unrestricted model for VIP partners definitely doesn't hurt their enterprise sales pitch.
Moving on to security, we have a really alarming development in the open source supply chain. On June 5th, GitHub had to disable 73 Microsoft repositories after discovering they were compromised by a self-replicating malware.
This malware is called Miasma, and it's a variant of the mini-shy Hulud codebase that was originally open-sourced by a threat actor group known as Team PCP. What makes this attack unique isn't just that it's malware in a repo, it's how the malware gets executed.
Right. Historically, supply chain attacks required the developer to actually run a compromised package, like an npm install or executing a malicious binary. but Miasma is designed to trigger the moment a developer simply opens the infected repository using an AI-assisted coding tool.
Exactly. If you open the repo using Claude Code, Cursor, Gemini CLI, or even VS Code with certain AI extensions enabled, the assistant automatically parses the workspace to build context. The malware exploits that automated parsing to steal authentication credentials, API keys, and passwords.
It's a brilliant, if terrifying, pivot by threat actors. They are weaponizing the very tools we use to increase our productivity. The AI assistant is acting as the execution environment because it implicitly trusts the text in the repository it's analyzing.
And this isn't an isolated incident. This is actually the second time in recent weeks that Microsoft-related packages have been targeted by this specific family of malware. It points to a systemic vulnerability in how these massive organizations audit their open source contributions.
It really fundamentally changes the threat model for open source software. We used to tell developers, don't run code you don't trust. Now the advice has to be, don't even let your AI look at code you don't trust.
Which completely breaks the workflow of modern development. Developers pull down dozens of repos a week just to explore them or grab snippets. If merely indexing a repo with Cursor can exfiltrate your API keys to Team PCP, the friction of development goes way back up.
The mitigation here is going to be incredibly difficult. The AI tools themselves will need to implement sandboxing for their context gathering routines, ensuring they can't execute hidden prompts or scripts embedded in the files they read.
Until then, developers need to be hyper-vigilant. The fact that 73 official Microsoft repositories were sitting there acting as honeypots for AI developers is a massive wake-up call for the industry.
For our final deep dive, let's talk about the cultural impact of these AI tools. There's a blog post that went absolutely viral on Hacker News on June 9th, titled Cleaning Up After AI Rockstar Developers.
This was written by Jesse Skinner, a software developer with over 20 years of experience. He's drawing a parallel between the historical rockstar developer archetype and what's happening right now with AI-assisted coding.
For those who might not know the trope, the classic rockstar developer was the person who could write a massive, highly complex system over a weekend. They prioritized cutting-edge novelty over team cohesion, leaving behind a codebase that was brilliant, but totally unmaintainable by anyone else.
Right, and Skinner argues that AI is effectively democratizing that toxic behavior. Now, any junior or mid-level developer can use an LLM to rapidly generate tens of thousands of lines of code. They become an AI rockstar, shipping features at lightning speed.
But the long-term maintenance cost is devastating. Because the developer didn't actually write the code, they often don't fully understand the architecture. They're creating these sprawling, complex code bases that work initially, but become a nightmare to debug or sustain.
It's a massive acceleration of technical debt. We used to worry about developers writing clever, unreadable one-liners. Now we have to worry about developers generating entire microservices that are fundamentally flawed, but look syntactically perfect.
The Hacker News discussion around this was fascinating. Hundreds of comments from developers who are currently dealing with this exact cleanup. They are inheriting projects where the original author used an AI to write everything. And when a bug appears, the author has no idea how to fix it without just asking the AI to rewrite the whole file.
It shifts the focus from the initial speed of development to the hidden costs of ownership. If code is disposable, maybe that's fine. But most enterprise software is not disposable. It needs to be maintainable and trustworthy for years.
It really calls into question how we measure developer productivity today. If a dev ships 5 features a week using AI, but introduces a maintenance burden that slows the rest of the team down for months, are they actually a high performer?
Probably not. The responsibility for maintainability hasn't gone away. It's just been obfuscated by the illusion of speed. Teams are going to have to implement much stricter code review processes specifically designed to catch AI-generated spaghetti architecture.
All right, those are some heavy topics. Let's shift gears and hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup.
Sounds good. I've got a couple of updates from the space and quantum sectors.
Wall Street is starting to place firmer bets on quantum. Bernstein analyst Mark Newman just named Rigetti Computing and Inflexation as his top picks in the sector, citing their attractive risk-reward profiles.
The core thesis here is the tri-processor architecture. Bernstein argues that future infrastructure will inherently rely on a mix of CPUs, GPUs, and QPUs, giving pure-play quantum firms like Rigetti massive upside if they can capture early market share. A new report in CFO Brew highlights a reality check for enterprise AI. Research shows that only 1 in 3 AI initiatives actually increases productivity, and just 1 in 5 leads to measurable ROI. Rajiv Ramachandran at Coupa says the biggest barrier isn't the tech, but the misconception that AI requires multi-million-dollar transformational projects. Plus, only 14% of CFOs currently trust AI to handle accurate accounting data without human oversight.
The University of Pittsburgh recently hit a massive milestone, having 3 distinct projects in space simultaneously. That includes their custom CubeSat, PittSat 1, and an experiment on the ISS studying bone loss.
It's incredibly rare for a single university to manage the logistics and costs of 3 active orbital projects at once. It really highlights how academic institutions are leveraging cheaper commercial launch partnerships to drive space innovation. Finally, developer Marco Stanic has published a fascinating deep dive into his project, Catlantian 3D. He's building a complete first-person shooter using the strict technical constraints of 1993.
We're talking 320 by 240 resolution, a 256-color palette, and pure software rendering with no GPU acceleration. He's using a traditional raycaster with the DDA algorithm, proving that sometimes extreme constraints breed the most interesting engineering.
And that is all the time we have for today's briefing. It's fascinating to see how the push for AI speed is creating totally new paradigms in both security and technical debt.
Absolutely. We'll keep tracking the fallout from that Microsoft GitHub hack and whether Anthropic's new pricing model holds up. Thanks for listening.
We'll see you on the next episode of Noracast Tech Briefing.